Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, family. This is, oh my goodness, this is Khadija 7 on another wonderful Wednesday. It has been absolutely wonderful, as all Wednesdays are. You know, I have to have a lot of patience for these Wednesdays because they're here to teach us different lessons. Some lessons that we learn, just like in school, we all have our favorite topics, and sometimes they're not favorite topics. And there's some classes that we go to because we have to. There's certain things that we learn because we have to know them. And so it's very important that we become patient in that we really try to make sure that we are learning the lessons that are there for us to learn so that we can hurry up and graduate and get to the next level of things. So that's what our Wednesdays are for. You know, Wednesdays are for our check-in, how are you doing, give you opportunity to say, hey, this is my spiritual day. This is my Sabbath. This is what I'm working on. And then really work on it, you know, get started in it. So, you know, we have a lot of information that we're supposed to be processing every Wednesday. Wednesdays have got to be about you. They've got to be about your spirituality. We have so much to learn and to do that we don't have you know, we don't have time to miss out on all the greatness that is. So Wednesdays are for that. Shrine days, praying days, reading days, studying days, anything like that. This is what we have to begin to dedicate ourselves to. I know for a fact we are not praying enough compared to just everything else that we're doing. You know, we think about it, a regular TV show might be 30 minutes. Because the world is so crazy, we may spend an hour in the world watching the news or something like that. But yet we won't find time to sit and make, you know, a real heartfelt, even 5 or 10 minutes worth of prayer. So we have to start to reprioritize the things that are important to us. The things that are important to us, they should get the best of us, not that sloppy second stuff, you know. Make the world stop for a second and demand that you be given the opportunity, you know, to make your prayers, to build that relationship with God. You know, that is the relationship that will get you the most out of life. So, you know, don't hesitate, not even for a second, to make your investment there. You know, we will spend lots of time, energy, and money courting someone, you know, getting to know someone. You know, I got to go onto Facebook and check your Facebook stuff. You know, we'll spend time to do it. But, you know, my question is, are we spending just as much time, if not more, learning about God? Are we studying? Are we applying ourselves? So Wednesdays are the day where I'm going to encourage you to do that. Take that extra time. And then Wednesday evening, get together with your family. We come here as a family. We're all here to teach and to learn. We have a number of houses represented, and I'm ever so thankful and grateful when I have people that from other houses and other understandings that will stop their time and say, hey, this is worth building with. This is worth spending the time to learn from. It really fills me with joy to know that a wonderful approach and Mother Eagle Ministries that has been right there with us for the past year and a half, we're building and we're growing, and we have more and more people that are plugging in and, you know, know, I'm ever so humbled, but I'm also very grateful because I know everyone that takes a moment to plug in, they're going to get some good information. They're going to learn something because I sit down with my pen and paper and I'm learning. This is not accidental. You know, last time Spirit showed up in such a strong way, I was like, okay, you know, it is so much to learn, to build, to grow on. And one thing about A Wonderful Approach is that everyone is learning and everyone is building. There's something for each one of us to learn and to take away. So I just want to thank and welcome everyone. My old heads, you know, my South Carolina study crew, those people that stop what they're doing to take time out to listen to the show and then take it out into their community. Hey, plug into this, plug into that. Listen, go to A Wonderful Approach Facebook page and listen to some older shows. Or this show meant a lot to me. So for all those that take the time not just to listen but to absorb and to allow the information to really make a difference within your spirit, I want to welcome you. I want to let you know that you're home. I want to let you know you're with family. You know, this is what we do. This is how we do it. So this is our Wednesday evening. Last Wednesday evening, we do this every Wednesday at 8 o'clock Eastern. Last Wednesday, we were talking about the necessity of self-love. And those that are familiar with the program know. Those that are new don't. But this is a spirit-led program. Everything about the radio program and everything that A Wonderful Approach does is spirit-led, meaning that we are actively listening for God and God's messengers, and we are following the instructions that we are given. Sometimes that comes across as a message in words. Sometimes it's about planting that seed within someone to allow it to sometimes it's to germinate for a minute and then it grows. You know, this is what we're doing. When we say spirit-led, that's what we mean. We mean that God's in control of this. We acknowledge it and we look forward to it. So last week, Spirit was really, really working with a couple of people, really getting them to see what self-love is. When self-love is will be evident in the actions that you have towards yourself. It will be evident in what you allow yourself to be part of and to be around. Self-love is not a mystery. You're very familiar with it. It is something that we have to have because when you love yourself, it begins to give you a baseline understanding as to what it feels like to have God love you, to have other people love you. It automatically lets you know, hey, this is not feeling good, so this isn't love, you know. And we need sometimes that baseline understanding so that we can begin to say, hey, I know for a fact this does not feel good, this is not love. And the way that I know that, because I do know what love feels like. I've been practicing it for years. I'm aware. So that self-love show was so important. We got some tips about ways that we can further express our self-love, whether that is getting more rest, which is something that I think every person needs more of. You know, we need more intentional rest. You know, don't just let your body pass out every night. Sometimes allow your body to just be at rest. When we are practicing self-love, we're eating better food. We're taking better care of our bodies. We're allowing and demanding others to treat us well. You know, so we're not going to be sitting and being in negative environments. And so that self-love piece really, really was a wonderful reminder. I'm hoping it was just a reminder for people. I'm hoping that everyone has their self-care, their self-love routine, and they stick with it. Now, I know every now and again we may stay up late, you got to work late here. You may have, you know, some extra duties pop up there, whatever. I understand. But when we are in a habit of putting ourselves last all the time, when we're in a habit of depleting ourselves and then pushing further, when we're in the habit and other people are in the habit of using and abusing our minds, our bodies, our spirit, then we have gotten off the track of self-love. And every step that you take away from love, you're taking towards self-hate. There's not another destination on this list, okay? So as you're taking steps away from self-love, you're moving to self-hate. You're becoming detrimental to your own self, and that is not allowed. God loves us so much that he does not want us tearing ourselves down. He wants us finding ways to build ourselves up, okay? Find a way, demand a way, insist a way. So, you know, it was a really, really good show for that reason. I hope everybody went after the show. And this is something, you know, I want my people to pay attention. After the shows, I want you to either put like a little check mark, you know, have your journal or whatever, put a little check mark, hey, I got that. I did that. I feel like I'm good with this. Or I want you to say, okay, next prayer meeting I have with myself or with my ancestors, or however I choose to pray. I don't care if you're outside with the butterflies, okay? So next prayer circle, next meeting, next soil therapy, next whatever you do, take this idea out there. Take this idea of self-care and loving self and what that looks like and feels like. Take that out there so that you can really examine what am I not doing / what can I do? What do I need to add to this? So that was last week's show. If you want to check it out, you go to the Facebook page, A Wonderful Approach Facebook page, and from there you get to find out where we are, what we did, and how to, you know, even some tips and pointers. How do we get back to the goodness of our own selves? How wonderful. Sometimes when we stay in this rut, we stay in this rut for so long, we forget that our life is not supposed to be a rut, okay? We're not supposed to be overworked constantly. We've allowed the demands of the world to become taxing and toxic. Can't have that. So I really, really, it's so important. I cannot speak enough on that self-care, on the self-love. When we start to love and care for ourselves, others around us are going to be forced to change or go away, okay? So all of this is, you know, very important part of our health. Now, this week's show is going to be a little different. This week's show is about spiritual warfare. And it's different because I love to be on the cheery side of things. I like to be encouraging. I like to be inspiring. You know, I like to do all those things. But I recognize that I am a spiritual leader, not just a spiritualist. I'm a spiritual leader. I acknowledge and welcome those that choose to study with me. And whenever you take on the responsibility of not just yourself, but others, your level of responsibility increases. And so I have to acknowledge that, and I have to act responsibly, and I have to say that we are under attack. I have to say the words that we're in spiritual warfare right now. I have to inform my people, you know, really, that as above, so below, this is why we're seeing all this craziness going on. This is why we have mass murders running around. This is why it's become dangerous out in these streets. This is why, because we have so much that is harmful to us. We have so many soldiers out there, and when I say soldiers, I'm not talking about the U.S. military. I'm talking about prayer warriors. I'm talking about people whose responsibility it is to fight negativity. You know, we are not doing our job, not enough of it. There's too many people that are not putting positive energy into the universe, which is making it easier for negativity to run amok. And so we have to talk about this. And I don't want to. I don't want to. I'd much rather talk about flowers. Yes. I'd much rather talk about flowers. But my family, I can't. I have to talk about, and I'm just getting choked up. We have to talk about what we must do to have this negativity pass our door. We have to talk about what we can do to make sure that our families are protected. We have to do, we have to make sure that we are praying for our gender, our species, all humans. We have to pray for the earth. We have to incorporate more prayer in our life because prayer changes things. We have to be very honest about the impact that negativity has. We have to be very honest about that. You know, I have to go on and share with my family, with my people, that negativity is as close as our own thoughts. It's as close as our own thoughts. We are the ones that have to make the changes so that we can say, okay, no, I'm not going to contribute to this negative energy that's already out there. No, I'm going to fight this, whatever it takes. I'm not going to continue to allow this to impact my life, my family, my community, my everything. So that's what the show is on today. And this show is set up to be spiritually responsible, okay? This is set up for us to learn what we need to do and how we can do it. This is set up for us to learn, you know, and I'm going to ask a caller. This is set up for us to learn some of the sneaky ways that negativity has kind of infiltrated our ranks and then found ways to get it out, okay? So it is a very real show tonight, and we will get back to kissing babies. I promise you, we're going to kiss them babies next week. But this week we have to do this, okay, because there is a turn coming. There's a shift that is occurring, and we have to make sure that we are prepared to be on the right side of this shift, okay? There is a... So that I'm going to stop right there for half a second. I'm going to breathe for half a second. I mean, it feels like the temperature just went up like 1,000 degrees in my poor little home because I know the words that I'm saying, and I know the instructions I'm about to give has negativity nervous. I know that. This is why I just turned up to 1,000 degrees in my house. Because negativity doesn't want me to be responsible. Negativity doesn't want us to say, okay, you know what? Yes, I make my prayers every day, but I'm going to add to my prayers. I'm going to add more information to my prayers. Mama Khadija, who is my mother, but also she has been my spiritual teacher not necessarily sit down ABC teacher, but just allowing me to see a lot of her practices. And she prays for everybody, for the people in the hospitals, for the people in this. And I mean, the prayer list is long. And I'm sitting there like, okay, did all these people ask you to pray for them? You know, what in the world, how did it become your duty and your responsibility to add all this information in with your prayers? But then I thought about it. There are so many people that don't know to pray. And I'm not talking about, you know, be positive. Positivity is so important. I'm not talking about clearing chakras. I'm talking about praying, old-fashioned, dear God self, okay? Dear God S. I'm talking about taking your energy and connecting it with something bigger than yourself. I'm talking about giving thanks and praise for walking all the steps that you get to walk. And when you can't walk, having a place to lean, you know. So there's it's so very important to pray. But this particular, and we've had shows on prayer. I don't think there's a program out there where prayer did not come up as the answer, okay? Prayer is always the answer. It's usually the first answer for me. You know, people call with a problem, a question, okay? The first answer you're going to get out of me was, okay, well, did we make prayer? Okay, if not, let's stop and get some in right now because this is a situation. Prayer is the first answer. But this show, what we got to talk about today is not just praying for ourselves. It's praying for others. It's being there for somebody else. It's standing in the gap. It's, I believe Christians call it intercession. Some Christian, I need you to call me and correct me, or those that know. But this particular show is about those places in between where we don't, where no one is praying. You know, the reason why we have lighthouses, everywhere there's a lighthouse, there's a blind spot, okay? Before the lighthouse was there, this was a place that was dangerous and dark. So they decided to stick a lighthouse there, okay? And that's wonderful. But if you've ever noticed, a lighthouse, it rotates. It's not shining constantly in one place. So even when there is a light there, there are still moments of darkness and moments of danger. This is where we are, family. Okay? And yes, that lighthouse is encouraging. I love to see it. Every time I see it, I'm like, whew, okay. But the light doesn't always stay shining. So we have to stay prayed up because we all understand there's a lot of us out there. There's a lot of prayers going on. There's a lot of situations going on, you know. So what we have to do is stay prayed up so that in between, as this lighthouse is rotating, that we can be protected, that we don't have to worry about falling into the rocks, that we can know that there's danger here, but yet we can still be protected in the middle of it. You know, because the light shines momentarily, doesn't mean the danger is gone. It just means that we can see a little bit better. It just means we have a little bit more maneuvering that we can do. But it doesn't take away those jagged cliffs at the end of the little cliff. The light doesn't remove the danger. It just helps us to be able to see it better so that we don't run into it. But it doesn't take it away. So when we're thinking about the lighthouse in our own life, okay? Every Wednesday, I feel like that light is shining on me. Every Wednesday, that's my moment when I say, okay, I'm getting prayed up, I'm getting strong, I'm focusing on self. Sister Unique always says, working on me Wednesday. I said amen to that, okay? Working on me every Wednesday, I know that this light is shining on me. is going to give me a chance to work on me. But I also know that others need this light too. So as I'm working on me and I'm trying to get me strong, I also know that there are others at that very moment that are without their light. I know there are others that are in desperate need of the very light I'm sitting in. So when I make my prayers, I'm making the prayers for those that are not currently in that light. I'm making prayers for those whose mind has them in other places, in other spaces. I'm saying prayers for those who may be close to those rocks right now and the light's not on them right this second and they're unsure about themselves. So we, light bearers out there, those that watch the light, I need us to really pay attention now. Pay attention because there's so much that we can be doing to help others. There's so much that we can be doing that will be building others. We desperately need it. So we have to build and grow, and we have to continue to work with each other, okay? I want to say, and that's the beginning and that's the end. You know, we have to truly, truly know how important it is to stay in that positive. You never know who is in need of that light, okay? So when you feel the light shine on you, as we should every time we make prayer, every time that you stop your life and say, hey, I'm going to make prayer. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Every time we do that, we should be sitting back and praying for those that we know need it. We have a responsibility. So I want to ask people, press 1 if you wish to join the conversation. We've got to get into this spiritual battle that's going on. We have to talk about this loss of life. This blatant disregard for life and really begin to understand how we have to bring that back in. We have to understand how precious life is. And we have the perfect caller that's going to be starting off our conversation. We got Mama Khadija, the hostess with the mostest, you know, but someone who knows how important that prayer is automatically. She knows that prayer. That's the beginning of her day. She don't even talk to me. She don't talk to nobody before them prayers. She got to talk to God first. So, Mama Khadija.
Greetings, Heaven. Greetings, family.
How are you?
I am blessed, and I heard you open up with talking about something very serious, and you said you weren't going to talk about the flowers this week. So that means I'll have to put off my good news about my flowers until next week. And I'm okay with that.
Okay.
I'm okay with that.
Okay.
Because you said a couple of things that really, really piqued my excitement and piqued my, I guess, obligation, responsibility, and willingness to call in tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And you were talking about prayer, and you said, you know what, we're engaged in a spiritual war right now, all over the world. And I don't think anybody has been missing what's going on in America over the past week, actually since we got here, okay? But I'll say over the past week. And, you know, it's been horrible. And prayer is the first answer. But I remember sending you a text about the second massacre. And I ended that text with, prayer is not enough. Prayer is not enough.
No, ma'am.
And dog, if I didn't hear about 15 other conscious politicians say that same thing afterwards, because anytime we're engaged in any type of battle, whether it's a spiritual battle or whatever, a lot of times the first and last thing that people say is, girl, you got to get prayed up. You got to pray. You got to pray. That's only the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
That is only the beginning. The second answer or question is, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? okay, now that you're prayed up, you talked to God about this, he's saying, okay, go ahead, take care of this, or I'm going to take care of this, but you have a part in that. Anytime you take something to God, you do have a part in it. Even if that part is leaving it with him, we have a part. We have an active part in that. So for a lot of us, the active part is working toward that goal. What did you do? What are you going to do? What you fixing to do? However you want to say it, after you make those prayers, what next? What next?
Mm-hmm.
So that was the first thing that I wanted to mention to you, to the family. And the second thing
mm-hmm.
is that I just wanted to just mention, I don't want to spend a lot of time on it and take up a lot of time from other callers, but when you're engaged in a spiritual warfare and in spiritual battle or whatever it is that you're engaged in, I don't want family you to think that this is some kind of like hocus-pocus kind of stuff. Everything in the spirit will manifest in the physical. It will
That's
manifest
right.
in the physical. So spiritual warfare always carries physical scars.
Yes.
It always carries those physical scars. And that's one reason how we know we've been in battle.
About.
It's because
right.
of our scars. But don't think because it's a spiritual warfare, it's a spiritual battle, that it's not going to manifest not only in the spirit, but also in the physical.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, something that could be a serious emotional scar, that could be a physical scar, a mental
That's
scar,
right.
but you will have something to show for being in that battle. So that's the second thing I want to say about that whole spiritual warfare. Because a lot of times when people mention spiritual warfare, you know, I think a lot of people coming from a Judeo-Christian background, you know, think about something that's kind of hocus-pocus, spooky, airy kind of stuff. But no, this is real.
Extremely
this
real.
Is real. And it has... Yeah, it has some serious physical, mental, emotional scars that you will wear.
Yes. Yes. Thank you, Mama Khadija, for calling in and reminding us. And I was saying earlier that you are like one of the few people that I've heard pray for everybody under the sun. When did you start doing that? When did you realize that, you know, there were others in need of your prayer?
I guess over time, when I listened to my elders pray, you know, my godmother was, rest in peace, was Shango Baptist, started off in the Shango Baptist faith and then ended up as a Yoruba priestess and then Ianifa. So she brought a lot of the Shango Baptist tradition. She just never let that go. And these are the prayingest people I ever met in my life. I mean, they could pray the holiness people under, okay? But they pray for everybody. And,
yeah.
you know, and,
okay.
and hearing that over and over and over, you know, it wasn't just about her. It wasn't about her temple. It wasn't just about her godchildren. You know, it was about hunger in the world and world peace and warfare,
mm-hmm.
and physical wars and the homeless people and people in the hospitals and on the sick bed. All of this sometimes happens before mealtime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this
I
was
remember.
Not just in a service or anything. Sometimes this was right before we ate. This was a part of grace.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Just listening to that, and then as I matured, just understanding the importance of doing that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she did it
mm-hmm.
for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as mm-hmm. like most young people and children, and I was a baby in her care at that time, you know, we just do what our parents tell us to do and what we see our parents doing. And I basically did
right.
the same thing. But, you know, like I said, as I matured, I understood why that was so important,
mm-hmm.
why she did it,
mm-hmm.
and why I should be doing it, and why I should encourage
yeah.
other people to do it. And
mm-hmm.
you were there. You
mm-hmm.
heard it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember waiting. I remember waiting. Mm-hmm. When it was prayer time, that means you were going to be here for a second, okay? We were waiting. And, mm-hmm. you know, it was, as a child, I just thought, man, there's a whole lot more praying than there are people going here. You know, what is all this praying about? And it was about the world. It was about everything. And one thing that a lot of people may not know is that a lot of the things that I do, I did not create this. Okay, this is nothing that I have learned these things over time. So to hear you know, talk about you getting it from your elders, you know, a lot of people don't understand this is stuff that's been tried and true. You know, this is stuff that has maintained us and helped us to build. You know, we're not finished building. Lord knows we're not finished building, but we've gotten a lot further. And I think we've gotten a lot further because that faith and that trust in God and building up those spiritual relationships. So 100%, we need that in our life. We need to know that. We need to have prayer as that focal point. And again, we have to have action. We have to have action. That's what this radio program right here is about. We have to have action. We have to have those candles lit. We have to have the prayers out. We have to have this vigilance within our own walk in spirit to be the citizens, the good citizens of the world, you know. And sometimes I stop and think, okay, seven. Seven out of how many millions of people? You know, but you're going to stand here and yes, I'm going to stand here. I'm going to say this. We have to get this done. We have to take this personal. You know, this isn't someone's family that was impacted. It was our family that was impacted because the human family is our family. This is us. This is who we are. So it's so very important that we spend the time talking about ways to protect our family and some practices and ritualists as spiritualists that we need to do to not just work for ourselves but to help others in their struggles. So, Mama Khadijah, I so appreciate you coming on and getting us straight about that action. Let's get that action in place because that is going to be the thing that helps us to move to actually start to press forward. You know, spirituality doesn't just stop at one place. it's supposed to continue to flow and ripple, you know. So we have to stop allowing it to be just something that we do on Sundays, just something we do in our closet, just something we do in the living room, you know, in the shrine room. Hmm. Your spirituality is something that should be felt and experienced by everyone that's around you. And they'll see it and they'll experience it by your prayers, by your work, by everything they will benefit from, you know. So you become your own self. You become your own little lighthouse. So, yeah. So, Mom Khadijah, did you want to add anything else?
Well, no, I'm here with my paper and pencil to take notes. And to and to learn tonight. If you sit on this side of the microphone, and I'm going to wait for folks to call in and jot down some notes.
Awesome. She said, I like this side of the microphone too. Yes. How awesome. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Mama Khadijah, for calling in and giving us those reminders. As Mama Khadijah just said, all you have to do is press 1. That lets you know, hey, I'd like to contribute to this conversation. We have a lot of conversation. We have, every one of us has been impacted by this warfare. Every one of us in one way or another is carrying that scar from their battle, okay? Sometimes we get scars from other people's battles. We may have jumped in there. I think that's how I've gotten all of mine. Like I tell people, I was such a good child growing up. I never got spanked by myself, maybe once or twice. I always got spanked with my sister, who always got spanked. You know, she always was into something. So a lot of my battle scars come from me rushing into somebody else's battle and maybe being half-cocked, maybe not realizing how sharp their armor was over there, you know. But I have quite a few little scratches and scruffs from being in other people's battles and stuff, battles that God was not necessarily didn't give to me directly. But, hey, I figured this is what I'm going to do. Now I'm rushing in. You know, I think they say fools rush in. So now we're sitting on this side of the battle. I can tell you, hey, all those that know what the words my junk, your junk means, yeah, don't rush in. Don't rush in. Support the other person in the fight. You don't have to rush your own self in. When it comes to this battle, of course, some of the first things that we have to do, we have to make these prayers. I am begging each and every one of you in your prayers, even if it's a weekly prayer. You know, I'm hoping everybody kind of doubles up on their prayer on Sunday, seeing how the majority of us come from Christian ancestry. You know, allow them that moment, you know, say that extra traditional Christian prayer for them and their benefit, for their enjoyment. But I really, 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 if only until the end of the year, beg of you to say an extra prayer, will you? Psalm 91, dwell in the shelter of the Most High. Just until once a week, and this is a charge. You know, I'm going to personally call every single one of Wonderful Approach Angels. I'm going to call you, and I'm going to beg you to say this prayer, Psalm 91, dwell in the shelter of the Most High. This prayer is so important. I've only heard it maybe 2 or 3 times in my life out of someone else's mouth. But when I've heard it, it touched a place in me that I understood that this is truly a man or woman of God, and they understand about protection and protection in God. So I really, 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 I'm going to say it again, Psalm 91, add that to your prayer repertoire once a week just to the end of the month, end of the year. We have hurricane season coming up. We have flood season coming. We have tornado. Some of us live in Tornado Alley, okay? So please have that protection about yourself, okay? Offer this protection to someone else. Allow us, you know, we have some turbulent times ahead. You know, this massacre, that was a human acting poorly. We got nature about to come and about to really, really give us something to be, you know, concerned about. I know E.M. Onife, the head of the Oshun Golden Harvest Temple, she sends out prayer requests for nature. She will tell you, this storm is brewing right here. We need to pray for this storm. So I'm asking everyone, please say this prayer for protection of self, protection of your home, protection for those who can't pray for themselves, that don't know the knowledge, that don't know enough to pray for themselves. That's the first step. The second step is I'm going to ask you not to contribute to the negativity that's out there. We have enough negativity. We truly do. We have enough people that allow their words to be frivolous. We have enough people that don't hold on to God's good grace. We have enough people out there that are contributing to this negativity and adding fuel to the fire, okay? Do not let your number be in that. Pull yourself back from that. And everyone knows there's a place, I don't care who you are, there's a place where negativity has set a beautiful trap for you. A beautiful trap. It's not ugly. It's not scary looking. It's not any of those things. It is a place where negativity has set a beautiful trap for you, okay? Something that's inviting. You know, hey, it may be just a matter of sharing a little gossip here and there, not thinking how this could impact other people. We're just sharing a little gossip. There's a place out there where everyone, you know, has this beautiful trap, has this beautiful distraction. You know, oh, just let me distract you for 3 months in a retarded relationship, okay? And I say retarded because it's retarded. Don't make no sense. You're not getting nothing out of it. It's just there to be there. But I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to allow myself to be distracted from my duties, my prayer duties, my ancestral duties, my family duties. I'm going to allow myself to be distracted with this retarded relationship, and I'm going to miss out on something important that God may have needed my time and attention on. Okay? So we have to be very, very aware. We got to increase our prayer, okay? Two, we have to make sure we're not contributing to this negativity. Three, we got to be aware there are traps that are set for us, okay? Ego traps, relationship traps, gossip traps, money traps, all kinds of traps that are set for us, and they are beautiful. They're not ugly. They're not scary. You know, don't think that the devil, I think he was one of the most beautiful creatures, which made him so vain and caused him the relationship with God because he was that beautiful. Okay? So don't get to thinking that the devil got to be some scary, I don't even know why they even started this whole scary idea of the what he can do is scary, but scary doesn't get you. He knows honey gets more of the vinegar. He knows that. So I'm asking and I'm begging everyone, stay away from them traps. Understand that, you know, unfortunately, negativity's been watching you. When we were out playing and getting into stuff, and negativity was watching you. It was learning the types of things that get you derailed, you know. So they're like, oh, okay, we're going to wait for 7 to work herself past the bone and just be so exhausted that she's ineffective. She's ineffective. Well, that's what we're waiting for. You don't have to, you know, that's the trap for her. You're just going to keep throwing stuff at her, and she'll just get so tired that she will make the mistake. It's a beautiful trap. Most traps you can see ahead of time, okay? Most traps are very obvious, you know? They're so obvious, sometimes other people will sit back and look and be like, why are you doing that? You know, every time I see the moth that goes to the flame, that goes to the light, and then it gets buzzed and it's zapped and it's confused. And I'm like, I could have told you not to do that. I don't know why you did that, and I don't know why you're going to do it again. So when it comes to us being real with the spiritual battle, we have to know that we have to get our armor together. We have to get strong in our prayer. We got to get strong in our temples. Our bodies have got to be strong. That means exercise. That means let go of that junk food. Whoever this is with these daggone cigarettes again, we have to let go of the cigarettes. We have to get more rest. You know, I'm not going to repeat the self-love show, but in order to get strong for this battle, these are the kind of things we have to do. We have to watch our temple. We have to turn around and we have to prepare for war, okay? When you're prepared for war, you don't go into a war zone with your flip-flops on. I guarantee you, you don't. So being prepared for war means being prepared for those little traps, those little ups and downs, those little boo-boos. Who are you going to call? Yeah, who are you going to call? Who is part of your support group? Who do you know when you're having a bad day right before you catch a charge, okay? Right before you go all out, you know, you're like, I'm ready to catch the charge. Before you get there, who are you going to call? Have your list together. You know, don't make me have to say toolbox, because we talk about this. If we're getting ready for a fight, if we're getting ready for armor, what kind of armor do you have on? Depends on what kind of fight you do. If you went to my water babies and you fighting in the water, having metal armor on is not going to help you. You may need scuba equipment, okay? Everyone knows what their fight is. You know, everyone knows what their battle is. Find the right tools to fight your battle, and then turn around and find out who you need to help you with this. Who has won this battle before? Okay? If you know someone, hey, Seven handles this, I'm going to call her because I already know what she's going to say. I already know what she's going to do. She's going to get me right. She's not going to let me walk down this wrong path, even if he's cute. She's not going to let me walk down this path. Even if I'm tired, she's not going to let me walk down this path. Even if I'm already halfway down the path, she's going to tell me to come back because she has my best interest at heart. Okay? So we have to be very prepared for the battle we're about to do. We have to have those helpers with us. You know, we have guardian angels that Lord knows we work the snot out of. I'm ever so thankful. I say prayers for my guardian angels every day. I say prayers for my ancestors every day. Kind of my ancestors are like, girl, you get into more trouble than a little bit. But they're there with me. They're walking with me. They're encouraging me. They're making sure I stay on my straight and narrow. So they help push me to the side when I've gone too far, right or left. I go far either way. They keep me in that middle. They keep me walking the path, you know, that human path, that feminine path, that mother path. They keep my feet on the ground, and they help me to walk this walk and do it in a way that others can benefit from walking right behind me. So we have all kinds of things that we have to do in order to get this taken care of. My sister Bushwoman called me and said, hey, don't take a knife to a gunfight. Yeah, that's what we talk about, being prepared for war. When we're prepared, we're not going to take the knife to the gunfight. We're not. We have to, and I hate this. I don't like it. But we have to know our enemy. And knowing your enemy is also knowing yourself and knowing how you operate, okay? We have to know what part of this is a trap and what part of this is our own ignorance, arrogance. I don't know what other two things that make us do silly things, but we have to make sure that we're being fair to ourselves and really working with ourselves to know how to fight this enemy. And the reason why I'm focusing so much on us and what we're doing is because we can't go out into the battlefield if we haven't fixed our own enemies yet. Which wolf are you feeding within your own self? We have an external threat that's so incredibly real, but I'm always going to pull it back to us. What are we doing with ourselves first? Okay? Once we've gotten our prayer in place, we're not contributing to the negativity. We have stepped past the traps that were clearly laid for us. Then we have to go help somebody else, okay? And that's one of the beauties of this program is because we're interactive. It's not just one person. We are a circle. It's not a triangle. There's no one above. We are a circle. We're here to help each other. We are building and growing with each other. You know, where are your social efforts? Where are you going into the community and saying, hey, I see you falling on hard times. Let me help you. Can I offer you a bowl of soup? One thing about my family ancestry and my elder that is still living, they're into feeding people. You know, my aunt had my oldest son out there in the cold, downtown Atlanta, offering bowls of chili and a piece of bread. And my children learning how to stand and to give to others. My children, they'll turn around and eat with them. You know what I'm saying? They have no understanding of social norms. That they people are people, and when it's time to eat, my children eat. But they were out there servicing people, giving to people, because they knew that they had a little bit. And when you have a little bit, you share a little bit. You always are giving. For all my people that are over 30, I don't care if you don't have money. You give time. If you don't have time, then you give money. Either way, you find a way to give, okay? So we have to begin to protect those and work for those. You know, so we started off with prayer. Then we went into protection. Then now we're working on giving and protecting others. We have to do it, family. We have to do it. And I promise you, someone's going to see you doing this, and they're going to join you. I would have people, there was this one story, I mean, oh my God. Everybody knows I try not to cry, but when you get me, you get me. There's this woman up in Chicago. It was cold. There are people in Chicago, homeless people, that die from the cold. And I'm like, how can you be dying from something we know about? We know it's going to get cold. How does this happen? So this woman, I think she might have been 30, early 30s. She got up some money, her and her husband. She said, I just can't leave them out there. I can't drive past these people who I know may freeze to death. I can't drive past them. So they took the money that they had. This was right at Christmas time. And instead of doing Christmas with her family, she went and she had to really search for a hotel that would take these homeless people. And she got some homeless people. She put them in her car. And that and their stuff went to this room. And I think she had like maybe enough money for like 2 days for maybe five families. And that was a big deal. So as she's doing this, she's calling her friends, hey, no, I can't talk right now. I'm working with these homeless people. And her friends are like, doing what? And she's like, well, we're getting hotel rooms. Her friends called, their friends called. By the time it was over, I think they had like 30 rooms for like 4 or 5 days. And people were able to get showers, and they didn't have to worry about freezing to death. And this was just one woman and her husband trying to make a better life, trying to help someone reach out. You know, they weren't doing fun GoFundMes. They weren't, you know, they didn't do any of that. It was two people trying to help someone, and they saved people's lives. And now that this is an understanding, you know, they're trying to work harder, and the hotel was like, hey, if you get all these rooms right here, we'll serve breakfast and lunch. We'll do. So everyone was coming together. So I say this, you know, to encourage people. I want to encourage you. A little bit goes a long way. Mama Khadija has the Haiti We Hear You. That's a feeding program. She takes money and resources and food. I think she ships food over to a place where they don't have food. And when I say they don't have food, I mean they don't have food. They don't have fake food. They don't have staples. They don't have sugar water because they don't have sugar. And a lot of them don't have water. They don't have toast and tea. You know, they don't have toast. They don't have bread. And they don't have butter. So they don't have anything. And I think twice a year, she begs for money. Doesn't ask. She begs for money because she knows that your $5 can provide, $5 here is barely gets me, you know, a little lunch meal or whatever. The $5 feeds families over there. And so, you know, my aunt Sandy, who just transitioned at the beginning of this year, had soup kitchens in Atlanta, Miami, South Africa. Wherever she went, that's what she did. She cooked these one little single person, no children, one little person cooked all this food, and it was like tubs and tubs, 5 gallon big old things full of food, and she's just taking it out there, you know, not under any organization, just, hey, this is what we're doing. Someone's hungry. Someone's going to eat this food, and they did. So, you know, my grandmother, who lived near Campbell's Soup, and Campbell's Soup, they would bring the dented cans to her house, and people that were hungry in the community knew they could go to her house, and she would have, you know, these dented cans, and, you know, she would cook the food, and I think it came with a grilled cheese sandwich, but everyone in my family is about feeding. It's about nurturing. It's about getting to some of those basic primal things. So we have got to find a way. Once we have strengthened ourselves, we have to then begin to reach out to others and say, hey, let me give you a second break. For one moment, let me help you with this. So it's so important. It's so important. I got a caller that wants to speak, and I believe this is my dear sister, Omi Shayun. Let me see. Greetings. Welcome to the show.
Greetings, sis. How are you doing this evening?
Oh, we're doing fine. Look, we're trying to get prayed up. We're trying to get prepared, okay?
We definitely have to get prayed up and be prepared. That is the God's honest truth. The God's honest. You're talking about the things on the television and Texas and and the other community.
I think it's Ohio.
I'm like, what's wrong with people? They have 5 minutes of fame or whatever the case may be. Yes, prayed up and pray for other people in their communities and just ask the, you know, God to protect this this world, protect the world as He protects us each and every day for all these things that are going on. I'm just like, yes, I do. I'm like Mother Khadija. I get up in the morning, I do my prayers, and you know, if anything else come up during the day, I get a text, I go and make sure I say something, you know, for whatever's coming over the text for prayer for somebody. we have to do it. That's the old time way, you know. Our grandparents prayed for us, and you know, our moms and prayed for us, and we just passing it down. You know, you got your boys out there. I've got one out there that's doing the praying and helping and everything else. So yes, babe, we got to stay prayed up. Pray for everybody. Pray for your land, your life, your home, your transportation. Yeah. Those that are riding with you, those that are next to you, because you never know what's going on,
that's
what's
right.
going to happen. You know,
that's right.
so but
that's right.
We just have to keep our minds and eyes open so we can see what's going on. And I don't know about every other state, but I know here in Florida that passed a law about texting and driving. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, at first I don't text and drive anyway. I can't do that. But it's definitely better because you're more aware of what's going on the road. You can
mm-hmm.
Have your eyes on the road, your ears open and not plugged up with a headset or something to not hear the ambulance or a police car. Isaiah and I went out, and he said, you know, about three blocks back, he said, oh, there's flashing lights behind us. I said, okay, you know, and I kept watching. Because at one corner you can make a right-hand turn and go to the hospital, but it was still coming. We got up to a corner with a light, and we're in the middle lane, and the right-hand lane was a turning lane. One was a straight lane, and one was a turning lane. It's a three lane, you know, turn left or right,
right.
or two lanes to go straight. The man was sitting there. I mean, he mm-hmm. didn't want to turn the corner because that's not where he wanted to go. I'm like, really? The ambulance, the ambulance put on the horn and everything else, and he
wow.
was like, he didn't want to move.
Wow.
I'm like, he must, you know, we've seen this ambulance coming for two blocks. So we got to stay prayed up. I mean, he had his ears. He must have had a headset on or whatever the case may be. But people like that hurt, you know, the emergency people that are out there for us.
Mm-hmm.
So we just got to stay aware and keep our eyes and ears
yeah.
open and keep praying, sweetheart. So,
yes. You are so correct. I see it all the time, and I'm like, you're not paying attention. That's the first thing I think about. You're not paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
You're not paying
mm-hmm.
attention to your surroundings. You're not paying attention to what's going on. You're not paying attention. And it has the potential to hurt not just them, but others. And that's the thing that, you know, it can be really, really frustrating because there's not enough value on life. You know,
mm-hmm.
and it goes further
right.
than, you know, Black Lives Matter. You know, we have to really begin to look at the value of life. We're not
yeah.
giving life its value. So, you know, so when you don't care about everyone else around you, you don't care if you're inconveniencing someone. You don't care
mm-hmm.
if it looks strange to someone. You know, you don't care that the ambulance that might be that they have minutes to get people to help is trying to
right.
fly through, you know, because they don't have that value of life. They're not God-centered people. You know, they haven't gotten
mm-hmm.
here yet. So when I'm talking about we got to make prayers for people, I'm talking about that fool. You know what I'm saying? You know, the very people we have to pray for will tend to do the silliest, craziest stuff. If you have someone in your life, and I say this all the time, that is just acting redonkulous. You know what I'm saying? You're like,
mm-hmm.
I'm
going
to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you because only I can help you because
right.
what you're doing is all
mm-hmm.
insane, okay? What you right. do is so off the chain that only God can help you. I'm gonna call your father. I'm calling your daddy on you because you. Mm-hmm. I can't do no more. So
right.
yeah,
right.
yeah. I hate to say mm-hmm. that, but the very people that are the most ridiculous are the very ones that need our prayer the most. They're the ones that need probably the most care. They need the most reminding. I hate to be mm-hmm. like this, but this wheel does get the oil, okay? Because the wheel is
yeah.
like squeaking.
Mm-hmm.
The wheel is squeaking. We need help. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, thank you so much, sister, for calling in and sharing. And I'm telling you, we got to be those beings.
Right.
Protectors
right.
of the light. We have to do
that's
that.
True.
So
we
yeah,
to.
I know you get your prayer on, and I know you you get the how EL sent out the blast. Hey, pray for this, pray for that. You know, sometimes we do need reminders that the world out
right.
there is crazy.
Yeah,
and it needs
yeah,
our
that's
care.
True. That's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
I appreciate you, sister. I appreciate you. Thank you so much for calling in.
You're quite welcome. Thank you.
Yeah, that, you know, I'm sitting here kind of laughing and shaking my head, but it is so true. The very people that act the craziest are the ones that are in such dire need of the prayer. They are in dire need of our care, concern, and they will wear you out. They'll wear you under. And you're like, God, look at this situation. But I'm telling you, those are the ones that require the most patience. I'm sitting here just smiling, shaking my head, thinking about, you know, those people that have come into my life for me to help guide them onto the path. You're not even on the path, okay? I got to get you back on the path and then down the street. But, oh, my goodness, it shows. It shows. It's like a baby crying. Babies cry because they don't have words. They don't know how to communicate to you that they need something. They don't understand the words that you're saying. When you say, I'm going to get that bottle in 2 more minutes, they don't know what that means. All they know is that they cry, and eventually the bottle comes, eventually the diaper change comes, eventually, whatever. But if babies had words, if they could talk to us, then they would. All they're using is what they know. So that's what it looks like and it feels like when we're out here working with other people or being around other people that don't know God. They don't know that God loves them. They don't know how to make prayers and connect with God. They don't know how to develop themselves. They don't know how to get protection. So they're out into the wind and they're out in the world. And so they use the only things that they know how to do, which is usually poor behavior, you know, because they have not learned and have not been disciplined in their good behavior. So when you see that little thing acting up, and when I say little, I'm usually speaking about young or spiritually young. When you see them going through their changes, rather than offering judgment at that time, sometimes the best thing we can offer is a prayer. You don't know how many times I'll have a conversation in the middle of the conversation. You know, I've had conversation, oh, I'm so frustrated, I don't know what to do. You know, I say, oh, let's pray. Now, it's 2 o'clock in the morning, okay? If you're speaking to me at 2 o'clock in the morning, it's an emergency that only God can help with because I am not that person. So I'm like, okay, we need to pray then. We need to pray. And that's what I did because that's what we do. But, you know, when we get to those frustrated places, you have to get to your support system and say, hey, look, this is what I need. I need you to say some words to me, help talk me down off this ledge because I don't want to contribute to the negativity. I don't want to go back to my childish ways. I want to speak as a man at this point. I want to speak and act as a grown, you know, woman, one who is in control of herself and everything else like that. So I just want to thank everyone for taking the time, taking the moment. And I want to encourage you to further think about how I'm going to battle this negativity, how I'm going to battle it. You know, I want to be part of an organization that helps people. You need to call me. I want to support an organization that feeds people. You need to call Mama Khadijah. And if you don't have her information, call me. I give it to you. You know, I want to help support. I want to be there and make prayers and stand in the gap for others. Everyone has that responsibility. If you have breath in your body, we need to be making prayers. We need to be extending our prayers. We need to make our prayers full of praise, full of thanksgiving, full of gratitude, full of love, full of faith, full prayers, okay, so that we can get the benefits, understanding that, you know, our army is strong, but nowhere near as big as what it should be, okay? So what we have to do is, when you know you're part of a small, we're part of special teams, okay? Because we're talking about battle. We're talking about warfare. We're talking about a warfare that's constantly ongoing, constantly. So when we're talking about this battle, we're talking about this warfare, we have to really expand ourselves. We have to be able to do specialized fighting. Everyone's not part of special teams. We're special teams, okay? We go in where the problem is thick. We go in when people can't see. We go and fit in places that a whole huge church may not fit into. They just need a couple prayer warriors that can come in and to knock this negativity out, get it out the house, get it away from this person, do whatever. We are special teams. And so this is what we do. This is how we build ourselves. And so, and as everyone knows, a big part of what we do requires us to be spiritually healthy, physically healthy, emotionally healthy. You can't be on a battleground falling out your own self. Enemy ain't even stepped to you yet. How's that work? You can't be on the battleground battling your own issues, and we need you to be battling this negativity issue. So you see why? Yeah, I always whenever we're about to do some work, I'm like, okay, is your ancestor trying up? Are the glasses full? Does everyone that comes with you, do they know that you're here to fight this battle? You know, we have to make sure that when we're stepping to battle, that we're really ready for this. And the idea that this battle is ever present lets you know, hey, we really need you to come on right now. You know, we really need you to get yourself strong. You know, your ancestors, they're already waiting. Ancestors don't play, okay? Ancestors are ready for battle in whatever way that looks, however that feels. So, yeah. And again, everyone, the prayer that I ask for is Psalm 91, and I'm not asking you to stop a prayer that you're already making. I'm saying add this to your prayer. Add this. Learn this prayer. This is a strong protection prayer. Very important. Add this to your prayer life at least once a week to the end of the year. We need it. You know, unfortunately, these massacres, they're kind of a sign of the times right now. Unfortunately, the natural destruction, our earth, our planet, is really going through a set of changes because of all the chemicals and all of the harm that we have given to her over the years. And so, you know, we have to be patient with those little kickbacks, understanding that we brought a lot of that one to ourselves. So as we get ready to wrap down this year, I told everyone at the beginning of the year, Spirit made it very clear, there's going to be change. You got to be ready for it, okay? So this is what we do. As always, you know, we've been talking about prayer. We've been talking about prayer for other people. We've been talking about different kinds of prayers. You know, we need to really spend the time and energy. Don't hesitate to find the kind of prayers that are going to help us to expand, help you to grow, you know, help you to build you, you know. So don't hesitate to really expand that. So every single week we have prayer right here at this time. We end the show with prayer. It's a blessing, a blessing, a blessing for us to come forward and to make these prayers. It's a blessing for us to have your voice heard making prayer. I encourage those that are interested in making prayer, you know, you press one, that lets us see, okay, this person is online, they are ready, they're going to be contributing to the prayer line. It's such a blessing because for some people, we don't, you know, for those that have not made prayer a regular part of their day, it can be a lot. It can be a lot. So we want to make sure that we are at least offering this very moment to where we're saying, hey, this is a prayer that I heard on the radio. This is the meaning. This is what it was. And we're going to continue to build from that, okay? So every single week you're going to hear a prayer that comes forward for the purpose of building, okay? We have a very special sister that's going to be joining us for prayer. And this sister, we're going to be working together, doing a very special weekend coming up. I'm going to see if I can get her on the line. Greetings. Welcome to the show.
Greetings. That's it. Thank
Greetings.
You.
How are you?
I'm thankful.
Awesome.
How you doing awesome. This evening? Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you just fine. I'm so very thankful that you're going to be joining us for prayer. I was just mentioning the ancestral celebration that will be going on in September. If you have a moment, would you like to share just some more information and then a way we can get more information about it?
Of course. We are so excited about going to Little Rock. Actually, it's Hot Springs, Arkansas, which is a very sacred place on Turtle Island. It is one of the old capitals of the Washita Nation. So in that area, they have beautiful hot mineral springs and the Washita Mountain, and also some sacred mounds that were built by the mound builders in ancient times. And so we are going to go there and honor our ancient ancestors, the great ones who walked this land before we came here. And also we are going to go to dig for quartz crystals. So in the very same region, there are a few quartz crystal mines. And I mean, these mines have quartz that is, you know, the AA level, and they sell them all over the world. And so we have been going to dig crystals. This will be probably our fourth trip to this area. So we always enjoy it. It's just a beautiful, the town has a lot of historical value. And, of course, you know, we're going to have lodging included and the ceremonies and ancestral elevation rituals included. So it's going to be a fantastic weekend. We are looking forward to it, as always. And, of course, with the crystal mines, you take home whatever you find. So you go, you know, we'll help you find the crystals, and actually, you know, whatever you find, you can take home. So you'll bring home some of the gifts of the retreat in mind, body, and actual physical gifts.
Mm-hmm.
The retreat
mm-hmm.
is going to be September 26th through the 30th. So it's a Thursday to Monday trip. And as I said, it includes lodging and meals. So we'll have delicious vegan meals prepared by our personal chef. And you can find out more information and register for the retreat at www.rasekihealing.com. And that's RASEKHIHEALING.com.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Wonderful. Now, what prayer are you going to be sharing with us?
So, because we are talking about our ancestors, I'm going to share the Oath to the Ancestors, which is a prayer that was written by Dr. Ray Hagen. And it is included in one of our books. It's actually our book of prayers called Speaking with Spirit. So this is a very powerful ancestral prayer, and it's actually one of my favorite prayers. So I just ask everyone to take a deep breath and just center yourself, relax yourself, breathe out through the mouth and in through your nose, and hold your breath and breathe out one more time. In through the nose, hold it, and breathe out. O ancestors, blacker than a thousand midnights, African ancestors, it is you who we, your children, give respect and honor. O ancestors, we call upon you and welcome you in this place. African ancestors, let your presence fill this place. O ancestors who have purposely been excluded from the history books so that the world would not know of your greatness, our African ancestors who gave civilization to the world, our African ancestors who gave the arts to the world, our African ancestors who gave music to the world, our African ancestors who gave the sciences to the world, our African ancestors who gave mathematics to the world, our African ancestors who gave medicine to the world, our African ancestors who gave literature to the world, our African ancestors who gave philosophy to the world, our African ancestors who gave God consciousness to the world. Oh, ancestors, we thank you for devoting your lives to make a future for us, your children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. Now stand with us, strengthen us, guide us, teach us, and protect us from the snare of our enemies. Rise up, O African ancestors, and let our enemies be scattered, and give us the wisdom and boldness to stand up to our oppressors and those who would hinder the liberation and empowerment of our people. Rise up, O African ancestors, and live in us. We will not fail to honor you. We will not fail to respect you. We will not fail to hear you, and we will not betray you. Ashe.
Ashe. Amen. Perfect.
Thank you for allowing me to share.
Oh, absolutely.